Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded March 2nd and 6th, 2024. Well, last month, Julian Assange's final appeal to avert extradition to the United States was heard over 2 days in a British court. Now, Assange and the millions of his supporters around the globe wait for that court's decision. To call his detention, approaching 5 years in maximum security under the harshest conditions allowed by English law, a miscarriage of justice, hardly addresses the profundity of the perversion of the principles of Magna Carta, that foundational precept of Western jurisprudence. Andy Worthington is an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Four Fathers Band. He and the Fathers have released a new tribute song to the Belmarsh Prison's most famous inmate, Warrior. Andy is too co-founder of the Close Guantanamo campaign, still trying to get released men captive of George W. Bush's generational war. His book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and The Battle of the Beanfield. Andy's articles appear at his website, andyworthington.co.uk, where he invites participants to enjoin Close Guantanamo's efforts. Andy Worthington in the first half. And the horrors in Gaza intensify by the moment. This past week, the world witnessed the infamous targeting of starving civilians gathered by some of the few aid trucks allowed in by Israel southwest of Gaza City. The Flower Massacre, as this infamy is now being called, claimed at least 112 lives outright, with more than 750 people wounded to varying degrees. Small beer, really, when counted against the tens of thousands killed in Palestine, hundreds of thousands injured, and more than 1.5 million people rendered homeless in this purposefully made humanitarian catastrophe and undeniable genocide. And yet, those in Canada calling for an end to the killing are being assailed by the government, attacked in the media, and in true McCarthyite fashion, blackballed from their professions. Dr. Yi Peng Ji is one of these, a family practice doctor and resident physician in public health and preventative medicine at the University of Ottawa's Faculty of Medicine. Ji was suspended in November for social media posts criticizing Israel and calling for a ceasefire. Since Dr. Ji traveled to Gaza to see for himself and ostensibly work at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, but was unable to do so due to targeted attacks on healthcare workers in that place. Yiping Ji and bearing witness in Gaza in the second half. But first, Andy Worthington and fighting for justice for truth warrior, Julian Assange. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Chris. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure indeed. Well, Andy, can we begin a little off script with what at first glance might seem off topic? Prime Minister Rishi, which I prefer to say Richie Sunak, his outrageous speech in reaction to George Galloway's election in Rochdale a couple days ago. What's your reaction to his reaction to Galloway's getting in?
Well, I mean, on some level, you have to look at it and just think they're really flailing around, aren't they? If the prime minister of the country calls a kind of extraordinary press conference, really just to complain about the fact that that someone that he didn't like was democratically elected into the Houses of Parliament. I mean, really quite extraordinary. But I suppose, you know, on a more serious side, obviously, Chris, what it's a sign of is a kind of embedding of intolerance within our leaders, which, you know, I mean, the UK, obviously, we've seen coming for years with Brexit. But I think the Israel-Gaza situation and the absolute weaponization of anti-Semitism is driving our leaders into ever more absurd positions where they're actually starting to believe that no one has any right to disagree with them on any level regarding what it is, which in this case included, you know, a thumping majority up in the north of England for a candidate that they didn't like, who completely fairly, thrashed both the Labour Party and the Conservatives.
And to be fair, Galloway doesn't like them either. He said he despised the prime minister. He's had his first day in Parliament, has Galloway, coming in. We should mention that this was a by-election, not part of the general election. So he's coming in at this odd time. It's usually custom in this country, based on English parliamentary governance, that a new coming MP is recognized in the House and even offered a moment to speak. I assume it's the same in Britain, though that honor wasn't given to Galway for his reappearance after so many years in the House of Parliament.
They don't want him there. I mean, the reason that he was voted in is because, at least up in Rochdale, people were given an opportunity to turn their backs completely on the two major parties who have failed them on the burning question of the time, which is support for the Israelis' actions in Gaza. And, George is a controversial figure in so many ways. But, I mean, a former member of the Labour Party for a very long time, mm-hmm. always been a supporter of the Palestinian cause. And as he said after he won the election, Gaza is the moral centre of the world right now. And you would not know that from hearing pretty much most of the rest of the MPs here. And I'm pretty sure, Chris, that the situation in the Canadian Parliament isn't that much different.
It's deplorable here. We've got a minority government with a marginally left party in NDP, the New Democratic Party, it's called here. They're playing the role that Nick Clegg played so long ago in pretending they secure the Liberal Party, or the Labour, I guess would be a rough counterpart in your country, but they secure them in power, promising their constituents that are left of the government that they'll push for leftist ideology and benefits for the working class and so on. But in fact, do nothing, absolutely right. Nothing at all. And they've been almost entirely silent, save for a couple of rogue MPs that outside the parliament on their social media have criticized the government's position without actually admitting that they and their party are part of the government.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just extraordinary. I mean, this is across most of the West, isn't it? Mm. That our politicians of all stripes are seriously at odds with the public. And even as in the States, seemingly prepared to lose an election on the basis of supporting a country that is engaged in a genocide. I mean, you couldn't make it up, could you?
Well, this is a culmination, it seems to me, that there was a very good leader of Labour in Jeremy Corbyn, and then there was this anti-Semitism furore whipped up in Britain, especially within the Labour Party itself, seeing it turn on itself and attack Corbyn and drive him right out. There's a very powerful pro-Israel lobby in Britain, as there is in America and in Canada too. And so seeing where we are right now seems to me to be a culmination point. Galway, he said this is a one-issue election for me, and that issue is what's going on in Gaza. That's what he put forward. And as you say, that there was a resounding response.
Yeah. And, hopefully, I mean, I expect it will happen again in other constituencies, seeing as we have a general election this year. But, yeah, I mean, I think Corbyn was very clearly a sign of the power of the Israeli lobby, because the blunt truth, Chris, is that you are not allowed to be the leader of a major party in the Western world, whether you're in power or in opposition, the major parties, without being a supporter of Israel. That's how much power they have exerted over, built up over many decades. But with the Labour Party, of course, it's been truly shameful because Keir Starmer is such an absolute supporter of Israel. You know, this isn't somebody who's half-hearted about it. I mean, he's as fanatical in his own way, I think, really, as Joe Biden.
Well, that's Sir Keir to you, by the way, Andy. But speaking of Galway, though, I mean, Galway, I remember in 2005, I believe it was, 5 or 6, when he was attacked by the American Senate when George Bush was rampaging across Iraq. Not that the Americans aren't rampaging even yet. And he came and spoke to the Senate committee that was trying to pillory him. And it was an absolute classic. And the first real media pushback to George Bush on this side of the Atlantic, at least, that really broke through in a major way. It was really riveting at the time. And, of course, his oratorical style and everything was a great entertainment here, because you don't see that in politics on this side of the world at all.
See it here anymore either, Chris. That's the thing. His style is... His style harkens back to a time when you kind of hear him and you recall, oh yeah, there used to be a lot more voices like that, and now he's the only one.
And those terms, I'm trying to come up with some of the terms from his cock-a-hoop and all this kind of. It reminds me of my English grandfather, actually, who was a wealth of those kinds of things. But I mentioned that just because those were the days that. You know, really, when Guantanamo was a big issue. Now, I don't know how many people even register that Guantanamo Bay, the prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, occupied Cuba, is still a thing. And yet, of course, it is. And as I mentioned in the introduction, it's a thing that you're very much interested in and have been following and working diligently against for many years, and still are doing this. Now, what's the latest on the closed Guantanamo? Well, first, tell people who haven't listened to the show before what closed Guantanamo is and the latest development.
Well, Close Guantanamo is a campaign that I set up with a U.S. Lawyer friend who'd worked on the Guantanamo cases back in January 2012, which was the 10th anniversary of the opening of Guantanamo. So 12 years later, we're still here. And there are just 30 men left at Guantanamo, but that's 30 men too many, because Guantanamo is a facility that should not exist in any country that claims to respect the rule of law in any way. And the problem that we have with the situation at Guantanamo is that everyone is held in a deplorable position that is not respectful of domestic and international laws and treaties governing prisoners. But the particular group of men that I've been focusing on for the last year really is the 16 men, so that's over half of them, who have been approved for release but are still held. And, and the reason for this is, first of all, these men have been held for many, many years. So, the between a year and a half and getting on for 3.5 years for the majority of these men. And then there are 3 outlying cases where they've been held for 14 years since the U.S. government told them it didn't want to hold them any. The problem is that all of these processes, there are 2 processes which were set up under President Obama, is that they're administrative. They were in fact partly set up to try and avoid complications involved in the courts. And I think particularly, for some inexplicable reason, really, fundamentally, to prevent the law from interfering with Guantanamo's legacy almost. So the law does not apply to these decisions. They're administrative. They cannot go to a court. They cannot go in front of a judge and say, Your Honor, the United States government decided years ago that they no longer wanted to hold me, but they're not getting around to prioritizing my freedom, my release from this place after so many years. Can you do something about it? They can't do anything. They're left as the playthings of the executive, which of course is what the prisoners always were from the very beginning when the prison was set up under George W. Bush. And that's what I'm really, trying to raise awareness of in what is clearly the last year of Biden's presidential term. Well, who knows whether he would win another one, but, in his 4 years, this is the last year.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is the last year of his term living on planet Earth as well. let's get serious here. But you've got a couple articles up, and you're writing an article for each of 10 of these 16. And I don't know if you'll do more after that. But one of those articles held for 5,150 days since being approved for release from Guantanamo, Tawfiq al-Bihani and 2 ghosts, Rita al-Yazidi and Muin Abdallah Sattar. Sorry about my pronunciation, guys. I mean, I'm not Arabic after all. And within that article, though, Andy, you talk about the the Kafka-esque bind that at least one of these guys is in, but I think all of them, Tofik, and you write, quote, it's in a ludicrous and frustratingly unjust situation whereby it is easier to get out of Guantanamo as a convict than as someone so insignificant that you were never able to be charged with a crime in the first place. So not only are these guys being held forever, not only are they being held thousands of days after a tribunal, which you might want to talk about, the periodic review boards, but, I mean, has deemed them not a threat, and yet they're still there, and yet they haven't even been charged.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all political, Chris. And I think, you know, the thing that that people should be outraged by at the moment is that the Biden administration approved a lot of these men, most of these men, for release through the periodic review boards, which is a parole type process. You know, one of the processes set up by Obama, where you know, military officials and government officials in a panel decide whether they think it's safe to approve these people for release. And so the problem that we've got at the moment is that I'm pretty sure that the person who was appointed to the State Department to deal with Guantanamo, specifically a former ambassador, has been working as hard as she can to secure a country or countries that are prepared to take in some of these men, at least some of these men. And then, you know, that I fear that what has happened is that it has stalled because of the balance of power within United States politics. Basically, the Democrats don't have, you know, any kind of significant majority anywhere, are reliant on support for the Republicans, from the Republicans, to fund their warmongering, Chris. So, you know, so all of the money that they want to keep sending to Ukraine and to Israel, so Israel can keep on murdering tens of thousands of Palestinians, it's dependent on Republican support, essentially. And if Biden was to do anything on Guantanamo, the handful of rabid pro-Guantanamo Republicans that there are in that party would leap on it, and it would cause a whole amount of chaos and possibly derail his genocidal enthusiasm. So I think that that's, unfortunately, what's come into play over the last 5 months, is that the poor men languishing at Guantanamo waiting to be freed the fact they're still held is another byproduct of the United States' absolutely unforgivable support for what Israel's doing in Gaza.
Well, I wonder that ambassador's job isn't complicated further by all those countries that don't dare even pick up the phone when they see it's America on the line these days, you know. But if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Andy Worthington. Andy's an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Four Fathers Band. He and the Fathers have released a new tribute song to the Belmarsh prison inmate. Everybody knows who he is. Called Warrior. Maybe everybody doesn't know who that song is dedicated to. Andy, do you want to talk about Warrior? And, you know, when you and I have talked about Guantanamo, I don't know how many times now over the years, and I'm sure it was brought up in one of those conversations that what's happening to these men is terrible, and it's bad for them, and it's bad for law, but it's bad for everybody, and that these kinds of manipulations of what was the proud history of the English common law is being undermined will come back to bite us in the ass too. And now we see that there's another person who hasn't been charged, has been languishing in prison with no way to get out. But he's not a terrorist, at least not some people call him a terrorist. But who is this warrior that you speak of, sing of?
Well, yeah. So the song is Warriors. I mean, it's the song's actually about two people. I mean, one is Chelsea Manning, who leaked all of the classified information to WikiLeaks in the first place, which WikiLeaks then, in the company of some of the Western world's most prominent newspapers, released in 2010 and 2011 as essentially as a publisher. And Chelsea Manning, you know, ended up serving 7 years in prison eventually, and had her sentence commuted in the end by President Obama. But Julian Assange is being, you know, ruthlessly persecuted by the United States government started under Trump, and Biden hasn't quashed it as he should have done. With, you know, very troubling suggestion of what this means for freedom of speech and First Amendment rights, which are so precious in the United States, because he was a publisher. Not only was he a publisher, publishing things that the government don't want to be made public, but which is one of the definitive hallmarks of a of countries that are not dictatorships, that this has to happen. This is a possibility that you will be embarrassed, or you will even have your crimes exposed by journalists. But, you know, the hypocrisy of doing this and, you know, and at the same time pretending that the New York Times, which was, you know, partnered with Julian and WikiLeaks for so much of this, is somehow in some other world. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, and we know that Obama concluded that although he wanted to punish Julian Assange, he recognized that it was too dangerous for the state of journalism and for freedom of speech. Whereas, you know, Trump obviously changing his mind every 10 minutes on WikiLeaks. First of all, he praised him, and then he put in an extradition request. You know, who knows where his head is at? But it's so shameful that the Biden administration hasn't dropped this. It's absolutely shameful. Just to briefly deal with the extradition process,
Chris. Right now, and you released the song, as you say, on your site, and again, it's andyworthington.co.uk. You said you released this the first 2 days of hearings at the Royal Courts of Justice, a term that makes me feel I have ashes in my mouth even as I speak them, in your home London.
Yeah, and the problem really, I think, Chris, is that although, you know, we see Julian as a political prisoner, or certain people do, or as a prisoner of conscience. The fact is, although this is politically motivated by both the British and the US governments, the process that he's caught in, which is taking years and years and years and years to resolve, as it has done for you know, many other people before him, is that he's caught in the US-UK extradition treaty, you know, which is that basically the US says to the UK, we want this guy, and the UK is supposed to go, here he is, and not ask any questions about, do you have jurisdiction? Should we not be prosecuting him here if there's been a crime? I know this came in 2003, and over the years, lawyers have bravely fought to try and say, you know, this is so shockingly open-ended. So what they've ended up with is something that goes on for years, looks like a trial because you get both sides coming in and arguing things. But actually, all they're arguing about is the process of whether of what the extradition treaty should apply to, what it can cover and what it can't cover. And that's sadly where Julian is. You know, what is it, 5 years in now? Of, you know, he's got
five years in Belmarsh, yes, Belmarsh, and then those, yes, the years before in the embassy and
yeah, absolutely. But I mean, he's got, you know, he's got great lawyers working for him, but he's up against judges who, you know, will shift the goalposts politically, shall we say, because the fundamental thing about this is you aren't, the UK isn't supposed to engage in extradition if it involves politics. If it involves political reasons for why that extradition is taking place. And this is nakedly political, but the United States government is pretending that it isn't.
Well, and even worse, and I'm reading Jonathan Cook, who I recommend to everybody, no relation, jonathan-cook.net is his site, but he's also on Substack too. But he's talking about Arsenal. Arsenal criticized after Jewish fans walk away over pro-Palestine rally outside the stadium. It's affecting the Gooners.
What can I say, Chris? Sometimes it becomes so ludicrous these days, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, Andy, we're cutting a little bit short our talk today, shorter than our usual chats, which is a shame, and I hope we don't wait. It's been, I don't know, what, 3 months since we talked last. But because I want to play Warriors, and pardon me for forgetting the plurality of it, and Chelsea Manning, and not just Chelsea Manning, there's others and others to come, no doubt, whistleblowers that have been sent through this meat grinder of so-called justice. What do you want to tell me about the song and how people can get it?
Well, you know, I hope people enjoy the song. That's really the most I can say for that. This is very much from the heart because I worked with Julian and WikiLeaks on the release of classified military files from Guantanamo, which were published in 2011, and which, for people who are interested in Guantanamo, are hugely significant. They put names to allegations that had previously not been credited in documents that the government had had to release. And it was possible to build up a picture, a hugely important picture, showing how many people were prevailed upon through torture, abuse, bribery, just wearing them out, to make false allegations against their fellow prisoners, which were used to try and build up, a body of evidence at Guantanamo, when really it's just a house of cards. And it's so deeply shocking how inadequate what purports to be the evidence at Guantanamo is. And actually, just to leave with the current analogy, it reminds me of the stories that are coming out from Israel's prisons now, because, of course, that was one of their prisons was one of the inspirations for Guantanamo, where you hold people lawlessly, you torture them, and then you extract false confessions from them. And that's what we see coming out all the time, sadly, at the moment from Israel. But thank you for playing the song, Chris. Lovely to talk to you as always. If people want to know more, they can go to The Forefathers, all one word, bandcamp.com.
And that is for
bandcamp.com.
And that's the number four, not your forefathers, but The Forefathers. A clever little twist.
Well, I gotta think that we're not alone
just listening to radio. It's the F-O-U-R.
I'm sitting in my house watching all this happen. And
well, yeah, it's always
I've arrived to a point where I just can't keep my mouth shut anymore.
If nothing else, Gaza has revealed that we are...
Guerrilla Radio.
You're not alone. Palestinian, but we are also blessed and called Israel, too. So it seems to be conflict, no end of it right now, as the children and their parents starve as we speak.
It seems to be the most essential struggle of our lifetimes, Chris, this one, as to, which side are we on? Are we on the side of the people committing genocide, or are we on the side of the people being killed? It's extraordinary how that appears to be such a difficult question. But it's the defining issue. And I think that's what one of the only glimmers of light is that we can see how much it's taxing our politicians now.
Yeah, it's the outrage of I've been doing this since 1998, and it's the biggest outrage. Although the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Iraq, the destruction of Libya, continuing ongoing destruction of Yemen, Somalia. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on.
But never broadcast in this way by someone who is simultaneously bragging so much about it and so abominably self-righteous about it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's so on that happy note, Andy, thanks again for coming on. And what follows now is Andy and the Forefathers. Until the next time, Andy.
Thanks so much, Chris. Sliding into hell.
internet. And used it to set the secrets free. War crimes in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Cable showing U.S. hypocrisy.